Hi, everyone. Thank you for listening to our podcast. Tiffany and I give our all to this podcast with curating information, researching platforms, and creating a show with the best up-to-date information we can. We have a vested interest in the growth and health of your business and hope you feel the same way about us. Would you like to produce a show? All you have to do is email us at thebusinessbehindsmallbusiness@gmail.com to express your interest. And we will share with you what you'll receive with your investment. You'll have the opportunity to have your name and the name of your business mentioned multiple times during our show, have your company logo on our social media, along with details on how to get in touch with you and other marketing opportunities as well. Sounds amazing, doesn't it? So please support us so that we can continue supporting you. Hello again, and welcome to the Business Behind Small Business. Whether you're selling or staying, we're here to remind you that just because you own a business, that does not mean you are a business owner. Mm-mm. We are your hosts, Savannah Stone and
Tiffany Kao,
and we're going to get down into the nitty-gritty to walk you through the more finite details of entrepreneurship, revealing the dots between startup and success. No one gets to a million without getting a little dirty. There's a lot of business behind small business, so let's get to it.
Do it.
Oftentimes, when we think of budgeting, we are considering tight cash flow or the lack of funds. We focused our last few shows on funding. However, today we're going to talk about what to do with that funding. Or maybe your company does not require funding at all, but you want to learn how to be smart about your money. You'd be surprised how many clients the both of us have had that are quite successful on paper, however, not so smart with the way that they commingle. I wanted to use a different word, but I don't know. Commingle.
There's only one word.
There's only one
for
word.
Commingling. Yeah. It's commingling.
Yeah. Hop in bids. You want to grow your company in a healthy manner. And you know what? We all have dreams. We all have goals. And every one of them are different and unique to each of us. However, they do all have one thing in common, and that is the seed. The seed we are planting today is how best to spend your company's money. But before we begin, please note our disclaimer. This is available in both our show notes and on our website and should be referred to before and or after this podcast.
So I think the focus of the show today, at least in terms of money, is really about commingling, right? The personal business. Yeah, what is another word for commingling? Mixing up a personal and business funds?
Yeah.
Is that a good way of putting it?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Mixing business with pleasure.
There you go. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, we're going to talk about commingling, but we're also going to talk about how to be more smart.
Yeah. We're good with words today. It's going to be a winner. I can hear it already.
Words are not wording.
Oh my gosh.
But, you know, so what are some alternatives? You know, because I think sometimes people commingle their accounts because they want their money, or rather their business. They're trying to fund their business, and sometimes they commingle because their business has a lot of money in it. Their business account has a lot of money, mm-hmm. and they're like, oh, I'm just going to open that cash register and take money out of it. They don't realize what it does to their books, to their accounting.
So you're absolutely right, though. I mean, I've seen companies, startups, I've seen companies multi-million dollars still commingling.
Mm-hmm.
And it always causes problems. So just to set the stage, right, I have a couple examples of what commingling is. So I'm not making this stuff up. This stuff is actually stuff that I've come across with clients. So I'm not actually making it up. I'm just not naming any names. So, you know.
You know who you are.
So this is like all like what like owners think, which leads to commingling. Right?
Yes.
So one, think of like you've worked really hard for your small business and you're not taking a salary.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, charging the personal gas in your personal car, meals you take maybe for yourself, with your family every once in a while, travel expenses like family vacation is how you deem yourself as getting paid from your business,
mm-hmm.
which is commingling.
Yep.
Another scenario would be, you know, let's say you own a food truck and you get better prices because you're buying in bulk from like your food vendor or distributor or whoever of choice. And so, you know, to get to that bulk amount, to be able to get the bulk discount, maybe you add some of your personal groceries there because it's easy and why not? I mean, it's all food, right? At the end of the day. And afterwards, it's too much work trying to separate out the receipts and the purchases between business and personal. Besides, nobody will notice. So you just kind of leave it as is and you let it run through the business. That's commingling. Another thing is maybe you have a business credit card and it gets a lot of high reward points or cash back. And so you charge some of your personal stuff to it because, hey, who wouldn't want 5% cash back or something along those lines? Maybe some meals, maybe some gas. Plus, you think, well, I mean, it's great for taxes. They're all write-offs, so it means I get to pay a little bit less taxes at the end of the year for my business. Sounds like a win-win. That's commingling. And then last but not least, let's say you're a little short in your business, in your personal bank account to kind of cover your expenses. So you take the money out of your business bank account to cover it just temporarily. I mean, it's just 1 month. You just need to cover a couple of things. You'll put it back. Now, temporarily, it's temporary becomes it is temporary, but it happens maybe every few months. So, you know, that's not a big deal at
Or a
all,
few
is it?
weeks.
Or a few weeks. But that's still commingling. Right. So the point is, commingling happens. Sometimes this has happened to me. I'm standing in line. I look at my wallet. Like I'm standing in line at the grocery store. I'm looking at my wallet and I realize, oh crap, I grabbed the wrong one. And all I have is my business credit card. So I'm obviously not going to go home and start over again. So guess what? I'm just going to use my business card to be able to pay for that. But that's okay if you treat it right. Like the every once in a while that happens, it's fine if one, you don't make it a habit, and two, you're not doing anything to clarify it afterwards, so it's accounted for properly on your business books, and you don't intend to really pay it back. That's when you really run into a lot of issues. Accidents happen. Cards get swapped. It happens all the time. But it's what you do afterwards that really speaks to whether or not commingling is going to be a problem for you. Now, our listeners may be like listening to this and going, you guys are crazy. You're blowing this out of proportion. Like, it ain't that serious of a problem. You can just calm down, right? So, that being said, right, occasionally charging personal travel expenses, rent expenses, meals, maybe fun personal outings and stuff that you pass off as business stuff. Sure, it may not be a huge deal to you today because you're probably seeing it from a point in time, but let's kind of, you know, entertain that idea and think about the consequences of these actions down the road. So let's say, for example, you count a lot of personal expenses as your business expense because you think the company owes you and it's not a big deal to write off more expenses just to pay less taxes at the end of the year. Then next year, a year later from now, you find yourself needing to go to the bank for a loan, maybe to a lender to get some more money, or maybe you're trying to raise money from investors. So then what'll happen is these investors, these bankers, these lenders will ask you for 2 years of financial reports. And that's a completely normal ask, by the way. 3 years if you're unlucky. And one of the questions you're going to get is they're going to go through and they're going to scrutinize all of your expenses and they're going to ask you, why is your meals and entertainment so high? Why is your travel expense so high? Because it impacts your bottom line. They want to know, is this really the overhead you need to support your business and generate the money that you say that's coming in? And if it doesn't look like you're generating enough revenue to cover all your expenses, well, that makes them to think whether or not your business is good to invest in or whether or not you're good to pay back the money they're going to lend you.
Are you going to be irresponsible with the money?
Exactly. So think about how this still impacts you in the long run. Or let's do this. Let's say that you take money out and your balance sheet shows a large account. Sometimes I've seen it done a few different ways. It's sometimes people put in a line that says paid by owner, paid to owner, by the way, which is not the right way to do it, really. So don't do that. And if your bookkeeper's doing that, ask some questions. Or you have a really high like distribution account in your equity, or you have some kind of payable to owner. And depending on what kind of incorporated entity you are, meaning if you're like a sole proprietor, if
S
you're an
corp.
LLC, C corp, like this is going to show up a little bit differently on your balance sheet. But still, regardless where it shows up, your lender or your investor will ask about that. That is always the number one thing to hone in on and be like, well, why is the owner having to put money in and take money out of the business on a regular or it's a high amount? So if your bookkeeper is doing their work properly, which, you know, if they are, they're going to be able to account for this in the right accounts. But the fact that this account exists on your financials is going to cause questions, mm-hmm. and you will have to be able to defend yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's say, let's talk about the IRS, because who doesn't want to talk about the IRS? Now, writing off a few extra meals isn't probably that big of a deal to investors and lenders, even if, you know, suppose it's reasonable, right? But, you know, if they want to see all the ins and outs to see what kind of return they're going to get, and what if you're able to pay back the money that they're going to loan you, that's probably why they're going to take an extra good look at it, right? So having a few extra meals in there, all right, you probably have to explain yourself. But don't forget, on the IRS side, meals are only 50% deductible. It's 50% deductible for a reason, because they're not stupid. They know people are doing this.
Oh, yeah.
But at the same time, they also know the accounts that are always abused or commonly abused by business owners. So they will also look at travel expenses. They'll also look at marketing expenses, and certainly travel meals and whatnot. And so if and when you get selected for an audit, don't forget the burden of proof is on you to be able to show them that these are legitimate business expenses.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can't, meaning you can't produce that receipt and you can't produce that proof, then what they'll do is they'll back out all these expenses, recalculate how much taxes you should have paid,
right,
and then charge you penalty interest on the portion you haven't paid for yet.
Yep.
It's not a fun ride.
Nope.
When that happens,
yep.
Right? So even if you don't get that much slack for it from your investors and your lenders, you still have the IRS to consider as well. So
mm-hmm.
just kind of keep that in mind when you shit me down this road of commingling
mm-hmm.
a little bit. So the key is, of course, is that yes, it can happen, but let it be infrequent, if at all.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it happens, do the right thing afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
Account for it correctly, or if you have a bookkeeper, have them help you account for it correctly, or pay it back rather quickly, so that you keep things between yourself and your business clean and separate.
Yes.
Okay. And now I think, Savannah, you're going to talk about how to keep it clean and separate.
How to keep it clean and separate. And then I also am going to share some points, or rather some tips on how best to use your company's money.
That's a good idea.
So,
yes.
Yeah. So I'm going to speak to the points that you made. I'm just going to go down the list. So the first point that you made is about not taking a salary. This is a big no-no. You must take a salary. In case in point, I have mentioned this one time when I was a part of a potential purchase, and the bottom line number, the amount that it was, I was like, wow, that doesn't seem like a whole lot of money, but yeah, it looks like the company is profitable. But I'm like, but then I see no salary here. I see no money being given. And so whatever the amount, the bottom line number was, if you took that amount, so let's say it was 100,000, if the person had paid themselves, they would be upside down. So that's the reason why you want to be paying yourself, because if you end up wanting to sell your company and investors or potential buyers are not seeing that's on your profit and loss report, it's going to harm you. So take out whatever amount it is that you think you need to live your life. If it costs you and your family $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 to live the way you do, or $5,000 a month, whatever it is, pay yourself. If you're paying yourself, then it's clean.
Well, yes, don't pay yourself by running your business card to pay for all your personal stuff.
Absolutely. Now,
yeah,
now the the catch to this, though, is to pay yourself whatever is an appropriate amount. So don't be paying yourself. If you're considered the admin of your company, you should not be making $150,000 a year. So make sure that you pay yourself appropriately, whatever the amount is. I would go to, I guess, Glassdoor or Indeed, I think, can tell you what the national average is or whatever the average is in your area. It doesn't have to be precise, but it needs to be close to whatever it should be. If your company can't afford it, that's okay, because I'm going to skip over to the fourth point that you had made about your short and your personal account and we need to cover expenses situation. If your company does not make enough money to cover whatever it is you're purchasing, either you can put it down as a an owner equity, then, and make sure that your company reimburses you for it. So whatever way it is that you need to tag that purchase that you made as a reimbursement, reimburse yourself as part of your payment.
Yeah, but just one caveat to that, though. It depends on what kind of business entity you are.
For
you,
sure.
You can't put everything in owner's equity.
No.
Yes, so it depends on what kind of entity you are, how you're going to account for, and how you take money out. And that does have a tax impact as well as a business impact. So talk to your tax accountant before you just willy-nilly take something out and then don't account for it properly.
Agreed.
Yeah.
I would say probably a good example would be if you are a newer company and you need to purchase inventory, and maybe your company does not have enough, and you correct me if I'm wrong, but if your company only has, let's say what, again, I'm going to use $100,000. Let's say your company can only pay about $50,000 of that $100,000 of that inventory.
Okay.
But so therefore you have to make a $50,000 investment into your company. You have to make sure that your company starts paying you back. Put it in as a loan and pay yourself back.
That is one way to do it. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. You can do that. It's probably better to do that, but well, not that it's better to do that. There's a couple ways for you to put money into your business. And again, a lot of this goes back to definitely talk to your accountant or your tax accountant about it, just to make sure you don't end up tripping something that you're not aware of, but you can loan loan money to your business. Yes. And you can also invest money into your company, in which case you can use that money to do whatever you need to do, which becomes maybe an equity investment. Mm-hmm. If you loan money to your business, meaning that you fully intend your business to pay you back, meaning that it's an actual loan, treat it like a loan, like you are a lender to your business, meaning you have paperwork that says, I loaned my business this amount of money. And guess what? Charge interest.
Yes.
Right? Because that's how you're not going to get an interest-free loan from anybody else for 6 months, right? Mm-hmm. So why would the business treat you any different?
Mm-hmm.
So if you treat it like a loan, then it becomes clean.
Yes. Okay. So now let's talk about the business card. This was something that our guest Phil Gaudiano had touched upon, using a business card for, or rather, you know, for rewards or cashbacks.
Yeah,
the credit card. Using a credit card for reward points or cashback. You could use a personal card, is what he said. You could use your personal card.
Yeah.
It's probably better to do it that way. Use your personal card for business transactions and then have the business reimburse you. So, I don't know, let's say you got to buy paper, you know, pins and things like that. Purchase it with your business credit card so you can get those points or whatever it is, cash back or whatever, and then have your business pay you back. It has to be on the books that way, though, that if you paid for something with your personal credit card, say like for $25, your business has to pay you back, reimburse you that $25.
So think about it a little bit like this. It's like you being a employee of your business, and you ask the employee to basically front the money, pay for something on their personal credit card, and then the company didn't reimburse. So you, in this case, as the owner, is basically the employee in the situation. So you act like the same way. So yes, if you want good points and you have this credit card that you really want to use, I think when we were, and of course listen to that episode too, but I think one of the things we were talking about is like if you had to choose between having a high point reward card as a business card than putting personal expense on it versus vice versa, if you have a personal credit card with high rewards, it's better to have a personal credit card with high rewards that you put business expense on it than treat yourself like an employee, fill out an expense report, get reimbursed by the business, have this all well documented. And in that way, you get to enjoy the high reward points as well as being able to account for the business expenses properly.
Yes, agreed. And lastly, the groceries scenario. I think that's a really easy one. Just separate whatever it is that you plan on purchasing for yourself personally. I mean, you can always like put that divider in and like put your regular food. I've done that, you know, put the divider in, put your food. I don't do that for my company because my company doesn't require food.
Yeah.
But I do that with my kids.
Well, so in the situation for the food truck, right? Or are you talking about the grocery store?
The grocery store for the food truck.
Well,
you know, like just,
I mean,
I get that you're buying in bulk, but you can either separate it, like you can have them separate it for you. Because, I mean, I've been to Restaurant Depot. They Restaurant Depot? Yeah, Restaurant Depot, where they'll separate it. Is this personal? Is this business? So just have you separate it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, definitely. I think we have situations where you can separate, absolutely separate. I do know that there are some food providers that obviously they don't sell personal.
Period. Right.
And so if you're trying to be able to buy at a discount, one, I mean, just don't do it.
I can't imagine
that the savings is that much.
It's not.
But, you know, if for whatever reason this is the road you're going down, again, the caveat here is that after the purchase, you do the right thing. You do the thing to separate out what your personal is, mark mm-hmm. it on your receipt so that when it gets added to your books, your personal expenses are not part of your business expenses, not showing up in your profit and loss. And it's, again, appropriately accounted for.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, again, we're going back to saying, you know, how much savings do you have? Because now you have administrative work that's going to cost time and money as well, right?
Right.
So how much are you really getting out of it? But in that particular situation, that's how I would say to handle it is, you know, do the right paperwork and to be able to separate these out.
Yeah, you're right. You're going to spend at least an hour of admin time trying to separate it out. It's really not worth the savings because you're likely not really saving much of anything.
Yeah, enough to.
It's not enough to quantify what you're doing. So just don't do it at all. Okay, so I think that the both of us have made it clear how bad commingling can be. It's of course bad for business, but also you'll have no idea how much money your company or little, how much or how little your company has, if you're not true to your accounts. Now, let's say that you are being responsible. Let's say you don't commingle. Let's say your company is doing well, and maybe what you have is a good problem. If your company is making a considerable amount of money, you may come across this idea of, okay, well, what do I do now? I think with commingling, that tends to happen with clients, or rather, not clients. Well, yeah, they do turn into clients. But commingling tends to happen with people who are not understanding the true sense of their accounts, of their accounting, of their finances. But I want to talk to the people as well. Sorry, not to the people. I want to talk to you.
Are you about to fourscore? Like, are you about to break into song?
I feel like I am.
Dramatic speech?
Well, I really am. you know, I see the bottom of the cup. Maybe
that
I just need
not
a
enough coffee. Apparently.
Not enough. I want to talk or make a point. Not people. I want to make a point that if you have money in your business and you're not sure, just letting it sit there is not necessarily a good thing either. It's kind of like kind of speaks to that whole like when you're. Parents, grandparents, whatever, is stuffing money under the mattress. Mm-hmm. Like they're saving their money, but really they're not making money out of their savings, right? So I'm going to talk a little bit more about that. First things first, you're going to want to boost efficiency and streamline your operations. Let's say you already have a platform like QuickBooks. I think most companies or most people use QuickBooks for their accounting or to manage their money. You're also going to want a customer relationship management tool or a project management tool that's going to help with tracking projects or inventory and keeping track of clientele, whatever it may be. There are some great platforms out there, and there are some excellent platforms out there. So take a look at what you can afford and select what's best for your company from there. I personally love Notion. I think it's a fantastic tool. HubSpot is also super phenomenal. And has all the bells and whistles, but kind of expensive.
Yeah. You're talking about CRMs now, right?
I am. Well, I'm talking about for that. Yeah.
HubSpot, Zoho.
All of those.
Active Campaign, you know. Like, yeah. Good CRM will go a long way.
Definitely. So that's definitely something you want to invest your company's money in. Next, you're going to want to allocate a portion of your budget to targeted marketing strategies. This might involve social media advertising and content creation or SEO efforts to expand your reach and attract potential customers. So look into investing into Google Analytics, Hootsuite, Canva. These can aid in analyzing data, managing your social media, and creating engaging content. Granted, this is also something that I think this and the bookkeeping part and the CRM part, I feel like if you don't know enough about it, hire somebody. We've talked about it before. take a look at our previous podcast for that, for more information on that. Next, one of the things that brings me the most joy is knowing that I've made a difference in someone's life, whether or not they work for me. And that should be the case for you and your employees as well. This is the time to invest in your workforce and offer training and skill development programs. This is going to enhance their satisfaction within your company, and it's also going to increase productivity and efficiency. Look into LinkedIn Learning, Udemy, or Coursera. These offer a wide array of courses that are suitable for skill enhancement. Okay, now that you can, offer more. Create opportunities to improve customer satisfaction and customer experience. Invest in software like Zendesk, Intercom, or HubSpot, as I mentioned earlier, and these can help manage your customer interactions effectively. Lastly, it's time to take your company from good to great by investing in the newest and best infrastructure and equipment so that you can operate smoothly. Maybe this is reliable hardware, more reliable hardware. Maybe this is software licenses, upgrading facilities, secured servers. Research your options, and of course, don't be willy-nilly about it, but research your options and be responsible about it. Because if you're commingling your accounts, you're also taking yourself further away from the opportunities to further your company.
So then it sounds like we're saying that, you know, if you can, if you have money, pay yourself first.
Yes.
Make sure that as the owner, you are taking a salary, you're taking a draw. Again, a lot of this depends on what kind of entity you have, what kind of business entity you have. So how the owner takes money out of the business comes in several forms. We're saying that ultimately you want to think about being able to take money out because you don't want to end up in a situation where you have a business with an owner who is CEO and doing all CEO things, and you're not being paid like a CEO because you like that bottom line to be as high as it is, but it's not really true.
It's not true.
Yourself, right? Yeah. And eventually, maybe one day, you're either going to retire or leave your business, voluntarily or involuntarily. It works in life, apparently. You know, when that day comes, somebody's going to be taking your place, and they probably would like to be paid something, mm-hmm. probably a reasonable salary for the job they're doing. Mm-hmm. And so having that already built into your business, even though the money's coming to you, just kind of helps your business in the long run so that you're preparing to hire somebody on the top level to take over for what you're doing eventually.
Well, and to speak to the possibility of sales, possibility of moving on, and loans and grants and funding and all of that, all of these things require clean profit and loss reports. All of them require clean balance sheets. All sure. of them do. It always comes back to the same place every single time. And to what I was saying about being able to expand your company and the offerings that you have, again, always comes back to the same financial reports. Can your company afford it? And if your company is at a point where you have a CFO, your CFO can't make decisions on behalf of your company based on a profit and loss report that you are, which I say this only because I have had experience in this, and I'm sure you have too. So when I say this, I'm not saying this like this could never happen, because these things happen. So I'm going to go back to the sentence. If your CFO is getting a profit and loss report, or rather a financial reports that are skewed, they can't make appropriate decisions for your company, because oftentimes a owner of a company will skew the financial reports by commingling and not sharing their information with, and I'm talking to you, CEO, or I'm talking to you, owner, and then it causes a ripple effect with their company.
So you're saying that skewing by commingling, or the fact that they're not taking out a salary.
Exactly.
Or an appropriate amount of salary.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. That makes sense. So you know, it's interesting, right? Because we're talking about how to spend your business money. So we're assuming that your business is making money and you have cash to make to be able to do this, right? And it is true. I mean, companies who are doing quite well and have a good margin oftentimes do end up with a pot of cash that. Honestly, I guess what we're talking about is how do you spend that pot of cash? One, pay yourself, right? Mm-hmm. Two is kind of what you were talking about, which is let's go ahead and reinvest into the company to be able to get more returns.
Yes.
On your business.
Be
right?
responsible but, about how you're spending it.
You know, the thing is, like, if your business is at a point, and again, we're saying that you're this is the first time in your business you've got a pot of cash. Let's just say it's like that, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Typically, when that happens, the business is always at a stage where their back office is on fire. And the front of the house, which is sales and marketing, is doing extremely well, right? That's why you're bringing in all this revenue and all this income. But usually, this is always at a point where a business has a lot of problems with internal process and internal operations.
Yes.
Because you spend so much time at the front of house. So if you think about it like a restaurant, like you spend so much time, you know, in the front, making sure that your servers are doing things right. You're, you know, greeting the customers are somewhat getting their food on time and they're tipping and they're paying their bills and it's doing great. But in the back, like you don't have enough kitchen staff, like your chef's about to quit because they're overworked. Nobody can find anything. It's a complete mess. Nobody's cleaning up back there. Like this is kind of where most companies end up at. And the funny thing is, being we do what we do and we see so many companies, you're starting to realize that this is a very normal part of growth, right? This is what inevitably happens to a business. And so if you're sitting here with a pot of cash, this is what I would recommend is invest into the back of the house.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
So it goes a little bit along the lines of what you're saying. Get your financials up and running, right? So invest in that fancy new accounting software. Love QuickBooks. But if you're at a stage where you're making oodles of money, QuickBooks may not be enough because you're not getting the information you want. You mm-hmm. can always invest in that next system up. You know, invest, you know, ask, you know, invest. Maybe you get a different team or a better team. Maybe you need an extra staff on your accounting and finance team to be able to process things faster.
Yep.
That's something to consider too. And then start looking at all your software that kind of holds up your back, right? If you're using like, you know, Slack or CRMs, like you said, Zoho or HubSpot, maybe you always wanted HubSpot, haven't bought it yet. Your poor, you know, salespeople are managing things on a lesser system or they're managing things on Excel. This is a time to invest money in that to be able to boost that side of the house up, right? So a lot of this is kind of like back of the house, little nitty gritty things that really your money should be investing. And yes, it's not directly related a dollar for a dollar for every single revenue dollars. But what it does is it builds the potential of your company to be able to make much more multiples after that. Mm-hmm. And that's what I think people don't always see.
Mm-hmm.
And your CFO would be very instrumental in this if they can get the data to actually advise you.
So yes.
There's that too.
Yep.
They're not miracle workers. They're not magic. They can't just create magic. But if they don't have the right support in the back of the house to be able to accumulate the right data for you to show you how your investment is making a return for you, you're kind of going to always be in this weird nebulous state of not really know what your money is doing, mm-hmm. right? And that's just silly. Why would you do that?
You know, it just made me think about one of the best shows that I have ever seen that exemplifies exactly what you're talking about is The Bear.
I have no idea what that is.
It's a show on Hulu. So if you have Hulu, it is a fantastic show.
Okay.
That I think is the most honest representation of exactly what you just said.
Okay.
So if you don't know what I'm talking about, this the show The Bear is about this Michelin star chef mm-hmm. who is in New York, you know, just doing all kinds of fun stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And his brother, who owns a family-owned restaurant,
mm-hmm.
it's just this little hole-in-the-wall restaurant. He dies.
Oh, okay.
And he leaves his restaurant to his brother.
Okay.
Now, there's a lot of family dynamics in this show as well. Very, very well cast, very well put together. But it is an absolute show. The whole thing. Like, he walks into a mess like he's never seen. And he's used to processes. He's used to people, like, yeah. knowing what they're doing. People,
and
like...
you get this mom-and-pop shop that just...
Yeah. And he's like, how was my brother... His brother literally was just like opening the cash register, taking the money out and just going off, you know. So he has to fix the finance. And then after he finds out how much money the company actually makes, he's like, oh, my God. And then he realizes that his brother had a loan that was ginormous.
Mm-hmm.
So
There's a lot of other things about this show, so I'm not going to minimize it to it being a great business show. But I will say that while I was watching it, I was like, oh yeah, I've got clients like that. Oh, I've seen that before, So I would say definitely if you want to see what it can be, what your company could turn into, watch The Bear.
Well, so I love the analogy to restaurants always, because a great restaurant, if you walk into any great restaurant, what is the Great American chain we have around here? Any kind of chain restaurants, ones that have multiple locations, like ones that have been around for a long time, they're expanding all the time and a lot. They're not expanding because their back of the kitchen is a mess by any means, right? I like the restaurant analogy because these restaurants thrive and survive because they have meticulous processes that they follow, and every single person, every single staff member knows the process. They know what process they're part of. It's very cool the way a good restaurant is set up, and it's very close to how a great business should be set up.
Exactly.
Think about the back of the house, back of the kitchen, as your HR, accounting, your legal, your back of the office staff, and think about the front of your house as your sales and marketing and stuff like that.
Well, to go back to the third season, oh man, like he had turned it around, and it was, yes, chef, yes, chef, yes, chef. And then who's doing this? Who's taking that? Where's this one going? Where's that one? And he's like timing them. They only have like, oh, sorry. I thought I hit myself. Sorry. Never mind. You heard nothing. But anyway, so it's like really cool because there is a process that is so finite that they have 30 seconds, 30 seconds, 30 seconds, 30 seconds. So that's what I mean. That's why I like this show, because he walks into an absolute like, three-ring circus.
And he turns it around.
And he turns it around with processes that are so tight.
Yeah.
And he turns the restaurant into, or rather, he turns this hole in the wall into a top-tier restaurant.
And that's the thing. I think, at a point in business, you can only get so far by keeping adding in new revenue and sales, thinking that that's what's going to be the fuel for your growth. Your fuel for your growth, actually, at that point, will now switch into your back office process and processes. And that's the part I think a lot of businesses don't foresee, and they don't. And then that's why they get into this like pickle when they get to a certain stage, which, I mean, honestly, I love the stage because this is the stage I always come in and consult and fix. But that's the idea, is they always get. So I've seen enough of these companies and similarities between them to go, oh my gosh, like this is, again, natural part of growth, but this is something that's very commonly felt and unknown. And if as a business owner you are aware enough before you get that point, and you're starting to grow your capital, like you've kind of accumulated capital, then you easily should know that deploying the capital to your back office is what you do now, right? And then at the end of that, worst comes to worst, if you've no idea where to spend your money or how to do it, or you've already taken money out, you've already invested, you have money left over, or you just don't know what to do beyond that, at the very least, please throw it in a high yield savings account or something.
Yes.
Right? Like, don't let it
CD
just sit
maybe
in your bank account.
Yeah.
Throw it in a CD or something, right? Mm-hmm. Like, let it at least earn something back for you, even if it's not directly like from your business.
Yep, I agree. So before we move on to the raw truth, we want you to be a part of our conversation and let us know what you want to hear. Send us questions or comments to our email, thebusinessbehindsmallbusiness@gmail.com, to ask questions related to our show, or just let us know how much you love us. We want to give you what you want to learn about. All right, now we're going to move on to the raw truth, where we're each going to share our gritty experience with today's topic. We want the listeners to know that success is not easy, it's not gritty, and it's certainly not a straight line. We hope you will hear our cautionary tales and learn from them. Do you have a...
In addition to what I mean, it's funny because I feel like I've been like doing the raw truth throughout
the whole thing. I know.
Like the examples sound kind of out there, but I'm telling you, these are actual scenarios. Like this, none of them are fake. They've actually happened. And, In my line of work, I work with multi-million-dollar businesses. I mean, mind you, they're not like $50 million by any means, but I'm in that sweet spot of the 5 to 10 or maybe even to 15. And that's kind of where I like the bulk of what I do is at. And these are real life scenarios, even at that level. So we're not talking about just mom and pop. You can definitely get a big size and still be, it's really, I think, more about the mindset of the owner, right? And understanding what a business needs and how a business needs to be set up.
Yes.
Yeah.
I do agree. And I've been peppering experiences that I have had, as one can imagine, over the last almost 14 years. I've certainly come across some businesses that I'm like, how? You should not own this. This should not be yours. And, you know, there was one in particular that I always go back to this one as a cautionary tale, because this person took so much money out of his company that he ended up bankrupting his company.
Oh, ow.
And it wasn't that he bankrupted his company. It was the taxes that he did not pay.
Oh, no.
That bankrupted his company.
Oh,
and it was sad.
Show up and take your stuff.
And it was sad because this was not a small business. A lot of people worked for him, and I don't know why he was so irresponsible. He was one of those people, you know, you meet some people who are just so smart, like book smart, but not like life smart. That's kind of where he was. And I did all I could do with his attorney. He ended up, whatever was left of his business, selling it to one of the people that worked for him. And that person turned it around, thankfully. We continued doing the accounting and consulting with them until they had it turned around to a point where they felt comfortable to bring it in-house. But man, oh man, this guy for 15 years, any money his company made, he just pocketed.
Yeah, unfortunately, there's a lot of stories like mm-hmm. that. And some of it is habit. Some of it is not knowing. And then some of it is just habit. You just
can't use your company like a bank.
Well, not your personal piggy bank. But, you know, all those little things we were talking about earlier with the grocery store, with the being able to buy stuff in bulk and slipping your personal expenses in there, just running your credit card for like some personal items, you know, they all seem like little things, but they add up.
They do add up.
A slippery slope, right? Because mm-hmm. it's like a habit, like, oh, if you can do this little thing, you know, as you get more money, then you can do that little thing. Mm-hmm. That becomes a middle thing. That becomes a big thing. And then before you know it, it's kind of out of control.
Yeah.
Right. So,
well, and then also like there, that other point that I made, the company that was looking to sell, she desperately wanted to sell her company, but she couldn't sell her company to anybody because she never paid herself.
Yeah.
Ergo, everybody sees it as a loss.
Yeah.
And, you know, she ended up losing.
I don't know her, but I can promise you, like, I'm just kind of picking on her because it's the only thing we have, but I can promise you that over the year, how long did she have her business for?
Oh gosh, many years.
15 years,
something
years,
like that.
Right? Over 15 years time, I bet she thought she had a pretty profitable business. She mm-hmm. probably told people that, look, I made, you know, $1 million last year, maybe like, you know, $2 million this year and things like that, right? And maybe on her bottom line, maybe she is looking at her P&L. Maybe she has a mm-hmm. bookkeeper, but on her bottom line, he's showing her, oh, we're making a profit.
Yep.
Never thinking and never understanding that she does a job in the business. Because was she hands-on in a business?
Yeah, she was. She worked in the company.
She actually worked. Okay, so that's what I'm saying. She actually does a job in the business.
Not only did she do the work, not only did she work in the company, but she had a branched out company uh-huh. that was doing work for.
Okay.
So she could have been getting a salary if she had done it. Correctly, she could have been pulling a salary from that business,
okay.
and then the business could have been contracting.
Oh, so she didn't do any of that. She just, okay, got it.
Like,
okay.
She had another company. I'm trying to be as vague as I can, but like, she had another branch.
In other words, she was very involved in the business, but not paying herself anything.
Not only
right?
not paying
so
herself,
so let's, just, let's
yeah.
just assume that she, yeah. Like a lot of owners do, probably either wear the sales hat, the business development hat, or the marketing hat.
Yeah.
That's what most business owners do to themselves, yeah. right? And they're probably doing all three of those and not paying themselves
yeah.
appropriately, right? Which means that if I was to buy her company, guess what? She's not coming with the company, so I'm going to have to go out and hire somebody to mm-hmm. do the three jobs she was doing, which means if that's not in the profit and loss, I'm going to add that to the bottom and be like, well, if I have to go hire somebody to do all these three jobs, she's a full-time person.
Mm-hmm.
How much does a sales and marketing and business development person run me? Probably about what? In our area, probably about
yeah.
80 or 90 at least.
Yeah, I was going to say about 100,
area.
Yeah.
So if her bottom line was showing that she was making a good $80,000 a month for the year, that's actually pretty nice, right? If you think
yeah.
about it, for the year,
yeah.
that's quite a bit of money to take home. But then she's not paying these people. So I would take that out and be like, so you're telling me that your company actually makes $0 mm-hmm. at the end of the day? Yeah, I'm not buying that. Why would I buy that?
Mm-hmm.
Unless I want to be her, and then I just bought myself a job.
Right, right, right. So right. So that was that.
Why
was
would
exactly
you want to
it.
Do that?
Right. Or let's say, you know, so
she a non-paying job, apparently.
Right, right. So, and the other thing was, not only was she not paying herself, but she also wasn't yeah. paying her other company that yeah. was doing outside work.
Oh, well,
and
so
to,
then,
that's what I'm yeah. saying. Like, she could have been paying her other company for having done yeah. whatever work it was for that company. So it was such an upside down. It made yeah. me so sad for her.
And the thing is, it's not like the way we look at it is so unique. Banks look at it almost similar, right? They obviously have a little bit of different criteria for what they're doing.
Yeah.
Investors for sure, because they need to know the return.
Yep.
Future buyers are going to be scrutinizing this stuff. Like, this is a very common way that people look at businesses to see what the health of the business is.
Yeah.
So what'd she end up doing with the business? She couldn't sell it.
She couldn't sell it.
What'd she do?
I don't even know. I think she just lost. I guess she lost
shop?
It. I know it's not there anymore. So I don't really know what happened, but I know she wasn't able to sell it. I heard through the grapevine that there was a couple of other potential buyers that had stepped away because
probably the same problem. They same probably problem. Saw the same thing.
Yeah.
It's very apparent.
Yeah. Yeah. Because once they found out, once they saw that she hadn't been paying herself, they're like, oh wow. So this company's like really, and then they found out that she was also having her other company doing, like, let's say marketing and advertising. Let's just say it was that
for free.
And it's like, yeah. So you also weren't paying for that. Yeah. So not only do I have to pay for someone to do whatever it was yeah. that you were doing, I got to pay for that too.
Yeah.
But I'm looking at $200,000 here.
Yeah.
So that's
which means that your nice little profit now is in the negative.
Yeah. I think she liquidated her products, and then I don't know what she did with the company.
Well, that's so sad. After 15
years. It makes me sad. Cause I know, like, I don't know. She had been in business for a very long time, and it made me very sad for her because I know that's not what anybody wants. You don't want to work that hard and then come to find out
to basically
that
close your doors and walk away.
Your business is worth yeah. nothing. So what you did was you had basically bought yourself a job for however
many
years.
So what we're telling our listeners is don't do that.
Don't do that.
That way you're working way too hard in your business to end up that way.
Yes.
Don't do it.
So before we move on to our next section, we're going to take a short commercial break where I'm going to be talking.
It's our commercial break. So
listen, we're still a little bit like strings and gum to attach together. So
as our listeners are probably like, and fast forward
10 seconds.
So it's a really break for them, not a break for us.
So much so, yes. Okay. I mean, we're getting there. All right. Listen, we need the funding. So wouldn't it be great to hear the sound of us promoting your business for you right here on our show? Oh yeah, you can have that and more by producing a show or shows, and then you could get a real commercial in between.
Not one where I'm looking for my for my mic, because apparently I like tore it off by accident.
So I know.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah. All you have to do is email us at thebusinessbehindsmallbusiness@gmail.com to express your interest. We will share with you what you'll receive with your investment. You'll have the opportunity to have your name and the name of your business mentioned multiple times during our show, and have your company logo on our social media, along with details on how to get in touch with you and other marketing opportunities as well. Please support us so that we can support you and create a real commercial with like music in the background, maybe even like something going on behind me, maybe. All right. So in each episode, we like to connect a famous example to our discussion to help you relate our talking points on a more global or well-recognized scale, revealing the dots between a living room startup and the success story on the cover of Forbes. Sometimes we use exact examples of either famous persons or successful business owners of today or in history. And sometimes we use examples of people who inspire us and have inspired today's discussion.
Yeah, I don't know if this is an example of a successful business owner. So so I thought this was kind of interesting, right? So as like a larger scale, I mean, we all heard of Nissan
yes.
Motors. So in 2018, this is when all this happened. Carlos Ghosn, I want to say his last name is Ghosn.
It looks Ghosn. Like right. I don't know.
He was once celebrated as the savior of Nissan, actually started facing allegations of financial misconduct. That was actually very shocking to the entire, you know, automotive world, because obviously Nissan is not a name that you are unfamiliar with. He was the CEO and chairman of Nissan, and he was arrested in Japan in November 2018. And what he was accused of is, one, underreporting income. So he basically was charged with underreporting his salary. Prosecutors allege that over several years, he's understated his compensation in the Tokyo Stock Exchange securities report, which amounted to about $44 million. So, man.
Yikes.
That's a lot of money. Then he misused company funds. So apparently he used company funds for personal purposes, which includes using investment funds to cover personal investment losses during the 2008 financial crisis.
Wow.
And a misappropriating company assets. So there was also a claim that he used company assets for personal benefits, including residencies in four countries financed by Nissan. So naturally, when this came to light, Nissan stock prices reputation took a hit because, you know, as a CEO chairman, I mean, what else can you expect? That's what they're doing. They had to go through a complete governance overhaul. So, of course, people are like, how did you let this happen? So this, of course, highlighted the internal weakness they had internally. And I'm sure it cost them millions of dollars to do a governance overhaul at this point. And then, of course, there's legal and financial challenges because there's, you know, just lawsuits, I'm sure, all over the place because of this.
Uh-huh.
The dramatic twist in this particular story is the fact that, of course, he said he did not do any of this, and that he claimed that he was a victim of a boardroom coup, right? Which, hey, who knows, right? We've seen enough, you know, shows like Billions and stuff like that, that, hey, it could happen, right? But before he could be caught and put on trial in December 2019, he actually fled Japan to Lebanon while out on bail. And as of this year, he's still there because there's no extradition treaty to Japan, Lebanon. So he's kind of hiding out. So we will never know if he was falsely accused or not.
I mean, I'd say Lebanon is a great place to be, but...
Well, it wouldn't be the first time that a big old CEO took advantage of the money and cash he had at his disposal in the business to go buy himself something pretty like a big house or a jet.
That is right. So I was thinking it's been a minute since I've brought up an historical example. And so I did some digging and I found two phenomenal articles that you must read them. I might be picking up some of these books myself too. Bet you can't guess which list I'm going to be going off of. Warren Buffett and Bill Gates both loved and lived their lives by the book called Business Adventures by John Brooks. I think it came out in 1968. Something like that.
Wow.
Actually,
classic.
Yeah, Warren Buffett actually lent it to Bill Gates when they met in 1991. So this book is about some of the most important events in 20th century corporate America. And each profile that is mentioned, I think there's like 12 examples, something like that. Each one is a fascinating account of how a certain moment in history shaped an entire company. The other article takes you through the seven most impactful books that shaped our world or our business world. I'm happy to say that one of my favorite books, The Wealth of Nations by Adam Smith, is included in that list. There is a book that is from 250 BC, or BE, whatever you call it now. Really, really cool. And there's also one about double bookkeeping. That was written in the 1500s. Fascinating. You may find it funny that that Wealth of Nations is the one business book that I have read from beginning to end, and it happens to have been written in 1776. Fun fact: my other favorite book of all time is Candide by Voltaire, which was also written in the 1700s.
Just born in the wrong century.
I really was. I like the classics. What can I say?
Yeah.
Anyway, so the two links are going to be in our show notes. And I really, really highly suggest that you guys read them. All right. So there's a saying that goes, put your money where your mouth is. And we're going to drill down a bit further here to connect what we've discussed at a granular level to tangible sources you can take to get you to that next level. What is wrong with me in my mouth?
Words are not your friend today.
No, my words are not wording today. No, so.
We're almost there. Almost
so close.
There. Stick with us. We're almost there.
Yeah.
So I just had two things. I know that, like I said, companies of all level and sizes do have some commingling at some level. Because sometimes it's like, whoops, you just happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. Your business card is all you got.
Yeah.
So if you're on a go and things like that, just, you know, remember there's a lot of applications out there to help keep things easy. You know, to keep that receipt, make the note on it so that, you know, you can mark that this is a personal expense or something that isn't. Mm-hmm. So you can use things like Expensify or,
love,
you know,
Expensify.
You look at any accounting software you have. Typically, they have now some kind of expense tracking part where it allows you to, you know, download an app, take a picture, it gets scanned, it gets uploaded. The whole key of this thing is, you know, have good communication and with your bookkeeper or accountant, if you still have one that keeps your books, so they know how to actually separate things out properly on your behalf. But that starts with you being able to tell them what you did, because they ain't going to be able to tell the difference between one Starbucks from another on your, you know, business credit card receipt because,
True.
They ain't psychic. They ain't following you around.
Yep.
But if you happen to be a smaller size and you're doing it yourself, then, you know, for your own sake, just kind of get in the habit of this. And if you don't know where to stick it in your accounting system, then always ask your CPA, your tax accountant, whoever accountant is helping you. Or, you know what? I'm sure ChatGPT might actually give you the answer, or you can Google it, or you call somebody to ask. But don't give yourself the excuse to not do this right from the start, even if you are small, because that's where the habit starts.
Absolutely. If you are small, you want to start your habits and your processes and all of those things. You want to create them while you're still small, because I can promise you, once you become big, it will be hair on fire. You don't want to get yourself to a hair on fire point. So I mentioned quite a few platforms and tools that you should look into. However, I do have a few other recommendations to make. So as far as books, there's The Lean Startup by Eric Ries. Reese or Rise? I'm going to say Ries. This offers...
You know my track record. I don't know.
I don't know. This book offers insight into how to build a successful startup and then efficiently utilize resources. So next would be Profit First by Mike Michalowicz.
Definitely don't ask me to figure out how to pronounce that right.
Michalowicz? I'm going to go with it. This one is going to give you a guide to managing finances by prioritizing profit and cash flow. So it will really help you. Even if you're not the one doing your own books, this will help you in learning how to understand what it is that you're doing. As far as apps, I would say QuickBooks always is a great place to start. If your company is too big for QuickBooks, I personally like Sage. You know, but do your due diligence. Look at what you think is best.
Which Sage are you recommending?
I like Sage 600.
Oh, okay.
But again, you have to have a company that is of that level. It's got so many bells and whistles. So, but QuickBooks will take you pretty far, though. I will say that. QuickBooks will take you pretty far.
They'll take you far.
Story for another time.
Yeah, I'll just saying. If you said this is one of those weeks where it's been a little bit too many touch points with QuickBooks support, and it's not impressive, people. Not impressive. So that's why.
I agree. I think yeah. Okay. So and this is something that she and I have talked offline about multiple times. So okay, moving on. I would say Trello is fantastic. I mentioned Notion. I use Notion. I love it. You can use anything that's going to be a project management tool is going to aid you in organizing your tasks and your team collaboration. I will also add to that if you have Google Workspace, you might not realize some of the things that your Google subscription will offer to you. Google has come out with a lot of fantastic add-ons that are part of your Workspace subscription. So look into that. I have found some that I was like, oh, that's a part of this. And
Google, Microsoft.
Yeah.
Google. Microsoft.
I know. I'm like, I'm not just drinking the punch. I'm like, give me the mix.
That might be the only thing we disagree on.
I know.
It's Google or Microsoft.
Totally. I'm Google all day long.
Microsoft.
Okay. So then online platforms, the SBA website,
Score.
And Score. I've got Score on here as one of my notes too. Yeah. SBA offers resources, guides, and all kinds of assistance for small businesses. We've talked about it before that there are, look into your county, your city, your state to see what kind of free things that, hello.
It's time to go.
Apparently.
I thought you said you turn the lights down when it's time to go, not the other way around.
Lights up, get out. You can't stay at the, you don't have to go home, but you can't stay here.
We're not staying at this office moved to background forever.
Yeah. We're moving. We're going to talk about that too.
We're going to grow up.
Yes, we are. Okay, next is SCORE, and they provide mentoring and educational resources for small businesses. Take advantage of both of those. And please join us for our next episode, where we're going to dive deeper into loan, grant, and aid options, mm-hmm. and also exciting stuff. Not sure if the next one or the one after that is going to be in our new location. We don't know.
I'll be surprised. You'll be surprised.
Well, yeah, it's going to be a surprise for the both of us. But I'm really excited because this is part of us growing up as a podcast and podcasters. And we are super excited. So please show us your support by following us on your preferred podcast platform, social media, and YouTube. We'd love for you to also get out of his way. We'd love for you to also share. I don't know if you guys heard that, but that was a honk, like another honk.
Still gone.
More honking. We'd love for you to also share our episodes. Honking won't be happening at our
honking,
new place.
Honking, knocking. I mean, this is just a day. Can't find words.
I know. Unfortunately, there may be a dog or a cat or two. Maybe. I don't know.
No, don't be surprised if you see one behind me soon.
I know. Okay. All of our links are posted below. Until next time, mind the business behind your small business, because all great successes start small. Bye.